February 15th, 2008. Welcome to the AdjunctNation.com podcast interview series. I'm P.D. Lesko, executive editor of Adjunct Advocate Magazine. Today we're talking to Dr. Peter Brown. We profiled Dr. Brown in the November-December 2005 issue of Adjunct Advocate in a piece titled Dr. Brown's Revolt, a tenured professor works for part-time equity at SUNY. In that piece written by Brian Cole, Cole writes, Dr. Peter D.G. Brown thinks his family history of advocacy may play a part in his own fight against inequality in academe. His father was a lifelong supporter of minority rights who contributed generous amounts of money to African American and Native American organizations. His mother was a union organizer in Hollywood in the 1930s. And his great-grandparents hid slaves and provided logistical support in southern Illinois for the Underground Railroad in the early 1800s. Now, it's his turn. In 2004, Brown founded the Adjunct Faculty Association and invited all of his adjunct faculty colleagues at SUNY New Paltz, over 400 part-timers, to the meeting. Over 30 adjuncts showed up, and reaction to the group has been mixed. Dr. Brown speaks with us from New Paltz, New York. Let's talk a little bit about what has happened with the group you founded, the Adjunct Faculty Association, or AFA, since you formed it in 2004. You had some pretty lofty goals for the group when our writer talked to you in 2005.
Well, we put out a number of newsletters. We definitely raised the awareness on campus of part-time issues. And then the following year, 2005, a number of us, including myself, ran for office in the union, in the UUP, and were elected. So I'm now vice president for academics, and other people who are active in the AFA are now delegates or vice president for part-timers.
So you're vice president for academics on the New Paltz campus,
right?
Local, is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Congratulations.
So we kind of, we went outside the union to create the AFA, and then we took the leadership of the AFA and brought them inside into the local chapter.
Uh huh.
So we're doing this outside-inside thing that a lot of people like Joe Berry in Chicago have been talking about, and it seems to be the most effective to work inside the union structure, but since that is very rigid, also working outside the union structure.
Mm-hmm. Hey, tell us a little bit about the Coalition for Contingent Faculty, or CCF. This group advocates for part-time faculty equity throughout the SUNY system. What prompted AFA members to launch the CCF in 2006?
Well, that's sort of an AFA on a statewide level.
Okay.
So, again, we're organizing the adjuncts within the union and trying to give them a voice. And so we meet at the delegate assemblies, and we put on programs, and, we try to recruit members. And it's an attempt to advocate for part-time issues within the union on a statewide level. Now, there is a statewide part-time concerns committee, but the two co-chairs were appointed by the UUP president, and nothing happens between delegate assemblies. So it's just three times a year people get together, they meet, they vent, and they leave, and then nothing happens for months.
Okay.
Whereas the coalition is an ongoing enterprise that tries to keep the pressure on advocating for part-timers.
Are you directly involved with the AFA and CCF?
Yes. I helped create both of them, and so I'm on the inner circle of both groups.
Okay.
And there's a certain amount of overlap between the personnel. There are not a whole lot of contingent activists within the UUP. We have 34,000 members, but not a whole lot of activists advocating for contingent issues.
That kind of gets into my next question. The New Paltz part-timers,
they're represented by the union, of course, the UUP, the United University Professions, and it's the nation's largest higher education union with 34,000 members, as you said. How have UUP union representatives responded to the AFA and CCF?
It depends on whom we're talking about.
Let's just say in general.
Well, in general, favorably, I think. They were always saying when we were outside, come join us, come join the executive committee, work with the UUP, we're the only game in town, et cetera. But on the other hand, they haven't always warmed up to all of our proposals. So it's been a bit of a struggle. There are certain individuals who are quite supportive, and then there are other individuals who are not so supportive.
Okay. UUP recently lost its longtime president, Dr. William Shurman. Can you tell us a bit about what you perceive as Dr. Shurman's legacy with respect to UUP's thousands of part-time faculty members? It was Shurman, of course, who declared 2005 as, quote, the year of the part-timer, end quote.
That was actually our suggestion, and he agreed to do that. It turns out there was not a whole lot of substance behind that, so it was an easy thing for him to do. What his legacy is, I think he was president for about 15 years.
Long
and
time.
I would say his main contribution is to get full medical benefits, full health insurance for part-timers teaching at least two courses a semester.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that most part-timers don't have. So adjuncts get exactly the same health insurance that full-timers do, like myself, if they're teaching two courses per semester. If a course is dropped or if they lose a course because a full-timer bumps them due to an under-enrolled course and they take away from a part-timer, the part-timer ends up with one course, they lose the health insurance, not just for the semester, but for more like 6 months. So that is a problem. But I would say his main legacy is to ensure that part-timers enjoy the same health insurance benefits and retirement benefits and vision and dental benefits that full-timers do.
That's interesting, because when I read about the year of the part-timer, Shurman, his focus was on raising the pay of part-timers throughout the senior system, but it doesn't sound like that happened. It sounds like he focused on pay in public and in private was able to negotiate for benefits. Is that true?
Well, we've had the part-timers have had the benefits for the last several contracts. So part-timers have had medical, vision, and dental benefits for, I would say, at least 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that has anything to do with the year of the part-timer. When Scheuermann heard over the radio in Albany that there was such a thing as an adjunct faculty association that had formed in New Paltz,
mm-hmm.
he called us up the next day and invited us to come up to his office in Albany.
Uh-huh.
And we had a number of points that we were proposing that you published in the article where you highlighted me and what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those 15 points was declaring the year of the part-timer. So he did that readily. But in hindsight, it was kind of cheap because it didn't really change anything. As far as the salaries are concerned, the part-time salaries are not negotiated by the union. So there are no pro rata salaries. There are no minima for part-timers. So it's basically up to the individual campuses what they want to pay the part-timers on that campus.
So each local is responsible for negotiating part-time faculty salaries.
But even the local doesn't negotiate. You know, we go in labor management meetings a couple of times a year and say, you know, we think part-timers should be paid more. And the other side of the table, the administration says, well, we're paying them the market rate, end of discussion. So it's not really negotiated. It's basically set by the administration.
But in fact, other than part-time faculty, the UUP has negotiated salary minima for the rest of its members. Is that correct?
Yes. So lecturers, full-time lecturers, their salary minimum for them that are about $35,000, $36,000 a year. Many of them are paid more than that, and their minimum for assistant and associate and full professors, but there are no minima for so-called part-timers. Their salaries are not pegged to a percentage of what a lecturer's salary is either. If that were the case, then part-timers could make maybe $3,500 a course, one-tenth of what a lecturer would be making. But in fact, they're making about $1,000 less. They're making about $2,500, $2,600 a course, and some campuses even less.
In November of 2007, Dr. Sherman was replaced by Dr. Fred Floss, whom you've described as being of the old guard. What does the old guard represent at UUP? And what does the old guard represent for the UUP's part-time faculty members?
Well, Fred Floss was the vice president for academics under Scheuermann for many years. And then he was the delegated successor, and he became the acting president. And then as of last Sunday, when Phil Smith was elected president, Fred Floss has gone back to being the academic vice president. And so old guard means the people associated with Bill Scheuermann, with the so-called United Caucus within the UUP. The United Caucus is an organization within the UUP that selects and vets nominees for office, and they virtually always get elected. And that's one of the interesting things in this last election on Sunday, is that even though Fred Floss was the United Caucus nominee, an independent got elected.
Fred Floss was voted out of office by a very narrow vote, in fact.
Yes.
So it was a surprising turn of events.
Everybody was surprised, including including Phil Smith, I think. But he hit the ground running, and he got a phone call from the governor's office within minutes of his election inviting him to a meeting, and he has since met with the governor and with legislators, and he's really come up to speed very fast.
Well, Dr. Smith has been described as being more in tune with the needs of UUP's part-time members. Do you think he is?
I would say yes, but it remains to be seen. I mean, anybody who's running for office promises all kinds of things to all kinds of people, and he did seem very sympathetic to part-time issues. As you say, it remains to be seen. His election was only 5 days ago, 6 days ago, so we'll see what happens. But so far, the part-timers I've been in contact with are quite pleased that he seems to be open to the issues and aware of the complexity of them.
Well, this was the first time in the 35-year history of UUP that there was a midterm election for president, right?
I think so, yes.
Why do you think Fred Floss was defeated?
Some people say this was a vote against Bill Scheuermann, a vote against the United Caucus, a vote against the way things had become in the union. And Phil Smith did have a very good website, and he had a question and answer section on it where he, you know, reached out and really wanted to know what people's issues were. Under Bill Scheuermann, Bill Scheuermann was a brilliant and very charismatic leader, but it was sort of a top-down organization, whereas I think people feel that under Phil Smith, he will delegate more responsibility to other people and maybe listen more to what the concerns are, be less of a strong autocratic leader. He has a very different personality.
Okay. Well, the American Federation of Teachers, with which UUP is affiliated, recently launched a legislative initiative called Faculty and College Excellence, or FACE for short. The main goal of FACE, as you know, is to convince state legislatures to fund more full-time faculty slots at colleges and universities. A secondary goal is to push for pro rata pay for part-time faculty. Can you tell us a little bit about your thoughts on FACE and its goals?
I think the goals are basically good, although the implementation doesn't always work to the benefit of part-timers. I think most people would agree that we need more full-time tenure-track lines in higher education in the United States, because only about a quarter of the people teaching today have tenure. On the other hand, we don't want lecturers, we don't want adjuncts to simply be cast out of a job because a full-time person is brought from the outside. So I think as we create these new jobs, we should try to promote people from within existing lines to these full-time jobs. And I think that's where a lot of the problems occur. People I know who have lost their jobs as a result of new full-time people with national searches who come in and then bump long-time workers.
Well, national searches are how colleges and universities fill tenure line slots. I mean, the AFT's notion or the AFT's hope that part-time faculty within systems will get preferential looks or preferential treatment during hiring, do you think that that's going to happen?
It's really hard to implement. It's really hard to force departments to change the culture of trying to bring in people as a result of national searches. But I think a greater effort can be made, and maybe the FAPE legislation, which is different from state to state, can be tailored in such a way to, yes, we want new faculty, but we also want as much as possible to protect the rights and the job security and the promotional options for those who are already teaching. It's a tricky balancing act.
It is. In New York State, I read that someone within the governor's office suggested that the current roles of part-time faculty be mined to fill the 2,000 positions which were created. And that suggestion was met with howls on the part of
right.
full-time faculty.
Right.
I mean, that's no surprise.
No.
I mean, how can it possibly work? How can this possibly be implemented in such a way so the part-time faculty won't lose their jobs? Can you see a way that that can happen?
Well, as you say, it is tricky, but I think part-time teachers should be given preference, and if they are qualified, if they do have the credentials and the expertise, I think they should be given the job.
Mm-hmm.
I think the California Faculty Association has language in their contract to ensure just this sort of thing.
Well, the AFT's Associate Director of Field Services and Communication, Craig Smith, recently posted this to his blog, quote, "As we have promoted FAPE in Washington, we've received some criticism for blaming part-time faculty for the problems in higher education," end quote. What do you think? Is the AFT blaming part-time faculty in order to get legislative support for FAPE?
Well, I think it's always tricky when you advocate for new full-time faculty and you say we have a problem, not to blame the part-timers for the problem. The problem is not that they do inferior work. The problem, I think, is that they have inferior work conditions, and poor work conditions are poor learning conditions. We need to improve the working conditions of faculty across the board. As we advocate for new positions and new full-time lines, it should not be understood that this is because part-timers are bad teachers. Sometimes that does get miscommunicated. So, you know, I think we have to be very careful when we go in public what we're telling the legislators, what we're telling students and parents and taxpayers. And it's not that part-time teachers are bad teachers. It's that the working conditions for part-timers are bad. But the solution is not to get rid of the part-timers. The solution is to increase their salaries, give them more job security, give them offices and wherewithal to conduct their professional lives.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any final comments?
What I would like to see is more activism on the part of adjuncts. I would like to see them raising their voices and linking up and joining in statewide coalitions. And hopefully one of these days in the not-too-distant future, I would like to see a national coalition, not like COCAL, which just gets together every 2 years, but more an ongoing operation that will advocate for contingent faculty interests.
Well, thanks for talking.
Okay, thank you, Pat.
That was Dr. Peter D.G. Brown, full-time faculty member, professor of German at SUNY New Paltz, and founder of the Adjunct Faculty Association, as well as the Coalition for Contingent Faculty.